Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. I would like to formally congratulate Kieran Condon and Amanda Perry, who are two avid listeners of the show, on their recent engagement. Best of luck, guys. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busing, hashtag TheRealNJ, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.8 on this Saturday, the 10th of December. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate?
Canadians have tasty poutine, Nick Busing.
Just for the sake of making this a PG podcast, please explain to the nice people who don't know what poutine is and going straight to their, you know, their minds are going straight into the gutter.
Poutine is a tasty Canadian delicacy, which I sampled last night, but I've sampled plenty of times before, where it's gravy and cheese curds and all this tasty stuff. And it's the best thing ever created
on
man.
Fries, mate. You forgot to mention the fries.
Oh, yeah. The fries are the base. They don't really matter.
It's the main thing. It's gravy fries with cheese and chili if you want chili. And bacon if you want bacon.
Bacon. I had pulled pork on mine last night at the Raptors game. That was, oh my God. Pulled pork and bacon. What a combo.
Mate, you're getting me all bothered and hot. But in other news, you are in Canada catching some NBA. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was good fun last night, Nicky boy. Saw the Raptors versus the Timberwolves. Very entertaining offensive game. Saw lots of putback slams and three-pointers, and there's nothing like a live NBA game. I mean, nothing beats the experience of seeing some of the best NBA players strutting their stuff.
It is certainly a brilliant experience. Anyone hitting the US soon enough, definitely hit up some NBA games, because it is quite different from watching it on the TV. In other news, mate, we hit a milestone here at JBT. 80 likes on the page.
Hey, so, let's give a clap.
To us.
Clap to ourselves.
Yes, yes. There'll be a soundboard soon enough in the coming episodes. I'm sure I'll have some monumental, you know, music and some dance. I don't know. Moving on. We also had some nice news here at JBT. For those of you hitting around the basketball podcasting world, you've surely come across a podcast called Believe the Hype, hosted by two Australian guys. Very, very knowledgeable on basketball, these two guys. Been listening to them for a while, Jack even longer. So big fans here at JBT of Believe the Hype. And we emailed them probably a few weeks ago, just on tips on podcasting and all that. And they hit us back. Some nice words there, just some tips on how to make our podcast even better than what it was, than what it is, which is hard to fathom, Jack, because it is, personally, I think it is perfect. But we'll take your advice there, Benyam. Thank you for getting back to us.
Shout out
to Believe the Hype. If you're not on their podcast, you definitely should get it. It's half an hour, so it's an easy listen, and they touch on some amazing stuff there. But yeah, it was quite humbling to receive an email back from these guys who have a very well established not just podcast but NBA website. They've got an entire like blogging and news article website. So yeah, it was good to hear back from them on how to improve our podcast, and they actually listened to it. Well, they said they listened to it. I believe every word that he says. So
believe the hype.
Believe
Nick,
the
believe
hype.
Them.
Yeah, that's it. So it was it's good. So yeah, getting some recognition outside of our close family and friends feels good, Jack.
Mate, it was. When I saw the Gmail pop up and it said Benyam, I'm like, this can't be real, can it? Because when I emailed them, I just didn't expect a response, because we were discussing just ways of bettering our podcast and bettering our brand. And we both came up with the idea of emailing these two Aussie blokes who we think are the mecca of Australian basketball knowledge. And one day we hope to even get half of what they're doing right now. So very, very, you summed it up very well by saying humbling. Very humbling to hear from those blokes. Shout out to Believe the Hype. Shout out to #JBTPod. Maybe we could join those blokes and we could do like a crossover episode or a crossover podcast.
Oh, mate, I think I'd be well out of my league with you three. The J-Man, Tom Reed and Ben Yum. My God. My head would explode from knowledge. But we'll move on. We'll get straight into this podcast with some general news. News around the NBA. We'll start off with a bit of controversy at the Bulls. Rajon Rondo has been suspended for one game for detrimental conduct to the team. He missed the Blazers game on Tuesday. He had a heated exchange with an assistant coach following their loss to the Mavs. And Butler said his attitude following the incident was top-notch. So Rondo came out and said, "For the most part, I'm not a selfish individual." So Jack, I like the fact he's put that "for the most part." So he recognizes it, but maybe not to the extent that everyone else believes. So what do you think of his antics, Jack?
Rajon Rondo, this literally happens so regularly that it's almost become non-news, Nick. Like, he's literally a toxic locker room influence. Like, if we're going to do our Pokemon comparisons, he's the coughing of locker room influences. He is just, whatever he does, he just taints on
the
locker
room. I would take that up a notch and say that he is the wheezing, because he's got, like, this cancerous head attached to him, and he's just the embodiment of emphysema.
Yeah, he's not, but, and that's, I think you have to know as an organization what you're taking on when you get Rajon Rondo, but, oh well, I think Rajon Rondo is what he is, and I don't think he's ever going to change, so it worked with the Boston Celtics. It's working okay with the Bulls, but, I mean, it helps
having
people like Dwayne Wade.
He's notching up a few triple-doubles there, so he's not playing too badly.
He's not
a player to take it upon himself. Like, he can get his triple-double, but he won't affect the team.
No.
If that makes sense. He's not a huge impact man. And I feel someone of his ego and his, you know, toxicity, it's not very good to be the way that he is, because he's not that impactful on the floor.
No, I agree, Nick. And I think, nice word, by the way, was toxicity.
Toxicity, yes.
Say that three times in a row.
No.
Toxicity. No, I can't even say it twice. But yeah, he's one of those guys, not as bad as, or he's similar in the Hassan Whiteside vein, where he gets stats, but he literally has no influence on the team. Whereas you see someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo or LeBron James or Russell Westbrook, and they get their stats, but their stats have an effect on their team and the game. Rajon Rondo is literally, for me, he's the embodiment of what a selfish player is in the NBA. Mm. And he's one of my least favorite players. And you'd be hard pressed to find a person that you know, is a fan of the praying mantis, coughing, wheezing, whatever you want to call him. But speaking of people that aren't liked in the NBA, Nick, there was some news around Matt Barnes and an incident with him and Boogie Cousins. Can you tell us what happened
there?
Boy,
was there some news. I think that may be an understatement. Matt Barnes is wanted for questioning by the police for allegedly choking a woman and also punching two others outside a New York City nightclub. Of course, Jesus. With Boogie. So Boogie was there as well. His lawyer came out with the following news and said, "We don't believe a crime was committed. Hopefully no charges will be pressed." Barnes has responded to the allegations and saying, "There's always two sides to every story." Jack, what do you make of this?
God.
I mean, there's been some progress on this, and I believe that authorities are actually very, very close to arresting Barnes. So there has to be something to this. I mean, they were posting on social media of their antics after the Philly game got called off. So, Jack, what do you reckon, mate?
Nick, it's similar in the vein of Rajon Rondo and his toxic influence on the locker room. Matt Barnes and controversial antics off the court, whether it be, you know, driving 30 hours, as Kanye would say, to bash up his ex-wife's new lover in Derek Fisher, or it's choking women outside of a nightclub in New York City. Matt Barnes is literally, players love him, like whenever he's in a locker room, but GMs and coaches hate him, and I can completely understand why. I don't know why, you know, Vlade Divac and anyone in the Sacramento Kings organization would be just like, oh yeah, let's pick up Matt Barnes and we'll pair him with DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to be a great influence on him. It's just the stupidest thing that anyone could ever do.
Yeah, I mean, those two off the court being mates, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. And there has to be, you know, authorities don't come out with these sorts of, you know, allegations and
Just
because, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, yes, the news was reported by TMZ and the like, but the fact that police have come out and said that this is actually a thing and that charges are looking to be laid in the coming days, it demeans the look of not only Matt Barnes, but also a lot of players in the NBA, because there's a lot of good being done by a lot of people, and it's people like Matt Barnes that tarnish the good name of what is great about the NBA. But can we not speak about this douchebag anymore, please, mate?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some more news coming up in the next... There has to be some more news coming up in the next few days on whether, you know, he's been taken into custody and all that, whether charges have been made. So just keep your ear to the floor. There'll be definitely more on that developing story. But Jack, there was some news on Al Horford this past week, saying he was considering moving to the Rockets before deciding to move to the Celtics. What do you reckon about his potential move to the Rockets?
Ooh, Nick, imagine him with the Rockets right now. I think the Rockets could be up there.
Be quite something. Replace Capella with Horford, and that team gets infinitely better.
Yeah, I think they could be literally a top three contender if they had Al Horford. And the fact that I didn't even really, when Al Horford was considering his move, I don't really remember the Rockets being at the forefront of his suitors. I knew the Celtics were one of the number one teams, and I mean, he's fitted in seamlessly there, but Al Horford, unlike Matt Barnes and unlike Rajon Rondo, he fits in seamlessly into any locker room. He is just the embodiment of what is a good teammate, what is a good locker room influence, what is just a good player and good influence on any team and organization. But yeah, at the Rockets, it'd be amazing. Imagine James Harden and Al Horford, that 1-2 duo. That would make you know the James Harden Dwight Howard one look infinitely better.
Oh yeah, definitely. But that being said, his move to the Celtics was one of great hope for the Celtics nation. Started a bit slow, and then he got injured for a bit, and that dream was starting to crumble a bit. But it was this move to the Celtics that, you know, brought in Boston, the second contenders in the East.
That's true.
And that was a very viable case coming into the season. And I think if he had moved to the Rockets, the same could be said about the Rockets. Are they a number two in that, even a possible number one? I think arguments could be made in the
Absolutely, Nick. In the West. I think Al Horford just has such a great skill set for a power forward / hybrid center that he makes any team better. He can shoot. He can defend. He's a perennial all-star. And on the Houston Rockets, yeah, I agree. There's no one that's going to top Golden State after what we've seen so far. Mm. And even, you know, San Antonio and the Clippers. But I think he would definitely have put the Houston Rockets in the conversation for a top four, if not a top two spot in the Western Conference.
Well, they're currently in that top four spot at the moment, without boasting, obviously, Al Horford. Can easily get up to a 2 or 3 seed if you are sure up, because it would bring a lot defensively to a struggling Rockets team, which D'Antoni has said that he's been focusing a lot on defense, or trying to, but not, you know, I don't think he said it himself, but he doesn't quite have the personnel to to get that defensive, because he wanted to be like a top five defensive team.
He doesn't have the personnel to do it.
But that is definitely an interesting trade, and we can always hypothesize on what could have happened and what could have been. But as for now, he is at the Celtics. In a bit of lighter news, you see the Cavs. See the Cavs Knicks game.
I didn't really see much of the game, but I saw some
more what happened. More what happened off the court, Jack. The Cavs were doing the water bottle flip during the Knicks game, and personally, I think there's no bigger diss to Knicks Nation than for their starters in the fourth quarter doing, you know, not giving a crap what's happening on the court. We'll just do our little water bottle flips, no dramas. And they were fucking terrible at it, may I add. Much better basketballers than they are bottle flippers, which I guess is a good thing.
Well yeah, you'd expect them to be. But yeah, it is literally the ultimate version of a troll. Like, this is the version of like the Michael Jordan meme. This is just literally the ultimate diss, like you said. And the fact that, like, did you see LeBron when he did his one and it went onto the court? He actually, like,
he dove onto it. It's like, oh, crap. It's like when you're playing basketball and you're having your little dribbles on the side of the court while the other game's going and your ball goes onto the court and you're just like, oh, shit. You have to rush onto the court to hopefully not disrupt play. It just reminded me of that, and it just, you know, proves, you know, they're just having their fun on the court, and it's exactly the same as having your fun on the court when you're, you know, 12 years old.
Absolutely. But Nick, we'll actually, for those that are followers of our Facebook page, we always post some fun stuff and some fun videos. Nick and I are going to take part in the water bottle challenge at some stage this week, and we'll post our video results, and hopefully we're better than the Cavs team. I mean, Kyrie wasn't too bad. Did you see Kyrie landed at the end?
Yeah, as the fourth quarter buzzer goes.
This couldn't be better timing.
Yeah. I mean, I've been practicing a bit of the water bottle flip. I just need to remember to close the lid. bad times ahead there. Mum's not too happy. moving on, briefly touch over these ones. Pop wants more than another championship for the Spurs. He's been quoted as saying, I'd be much happier if I knew my players were going to make society better. So where do you stand, Jackie, on, you know, hashtag NBA cares? And if you were a Spurs fan, would you be happy your team making, you know, meaningful contribution to society or winning rings?
I don't think that they're mutually exclusive, Nick. I think they can come hand in hand. And I think it was on Basketball Forever this week, just quickly, 25 people on their voting ballots wrote in Greg Popovich. So I think it speaks volumes of not only Greg Popovich, but of the San Antonio Spurs organization that, you know, he makes not only players better players, but he makes people better people. And I think the NBA and the world needs more people like Greg Popovich than people like Matt Barnes and Donald Trump and whoever. Let's make society better, not only on the basketball court, but off it. I think could not agree with Pop more.
Hashtag make America pop again. Love it. Moving on from Pop's 2020 presidential campaign. Draymond Green has been in the news this week again with his controversial kicking. We had a nice meme of mirroring him with Hitmonlee because he kicks things, and so does Hitmonlee. It's a very, very astute comedy there, Jack. Good stuff. What do you think? He claims this kicking is a natural flailing, I guess. And I kind of understand where he's coming from. I mean, he's a very emotional man, and he can get a bit flaily at times. And if he kicks someone, I mean, it is unfortunate. But you know, I'm not defending it at all. It is something he needs to work out of his game. But I understand why it's hard to wean off it, I guess. And what do you reckon?
Well, Nick, this doesn't do much for the fact that people compare Draymond to Donkey from Shrek, and the fact that, you know how, like, horses can't help but, like, when they get scared and they buck and kick. Draymond, you're not doing yourself any favours, mate, by the fact that you say this is a natural reaction. You're literally even more. In fact, we might have to get Chaz to do us a Shrek Donkey meme this week, because it's just ridiculous. Like, the fact that, yes, I agree that part of it is a natural reflex reaction, but you don't naturally, like, kick the air like you're doing a fucking jab step, like super kick, like Shawn Michaels from the WWE, where he literally almost didn't break that Phoenix Suns player's finger.
Oh, he didn't break it, but there was some definite swelling post game.
Like, come on, you cannot be a liability to other players' health by kicking and flailing like a stupid Shrek looking donkey. Like, you need to get that in check, Draymond. I don't give a shit. Like, and I feel very strongly about this, and we talked about this before the podcast. Like, one of the best reasons about the NBA this year is why it's been so great is because there's been little controversy and there's been a lot of great games and stats, and there's been the health of the players has been great. But players like Draymond Green, who do stupid shit like this, where they just kick their arms out and they say, oh, the NBA is targeting me. No, the NBA isn't targeting you. They're targeting you because you're doing something stupid. And they said before the NBA season that they are going to target players that kick and that do anything that is going to harm another NBA player. And you're doing that, Draymond. So just literally keep your legs in. Don't kick people. Like, I don't think it's that hard.
Yeah. It is something he definitely needs to work out of his game. I don't know why it's possibly in his game in the first place. But he's going to keep getting suspended. He's going to keep getting fined. So it's in the best interest of not only himself, but for Steve Kerr to work with him. If it takes, you know, trainers to actually work this out of his game, then it is definitely worth it. The reason he got suspended for kicking the Kiwi in the Kiwis in the final series, which potentially, along with the injury to Bogut, lost them that 3-1 lead. Full credit to Cavs. They definitely deserved what they won. But, you know, it's hard to look past that suspension and injury and say, you know, what could have happened. So for someone like Steve Kerr, it's definitely something that he needs to work out of his game sooner rather than later.
#StayWoke.
#StayWoke, 3-1. With that, we've run a bit overtime with our news. We're going to take a break. And just over the other side, we've got some key discussion points and Nick's picks. You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at JBT Podcast. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Kicking off here with some discussion points. #DP of the week. If you've got some discussion points that you want to hit us up, you know where to get us. Facebook, facebook.com/JBT Podcast. You can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast, or you can use the hashtag JBT Pod. So, Jack, kicking off here, who is the best rebounder in the league right now? Personally, if you're going pure rebounds, you can't go past Hassan Whiteside getting, obviously leading the league right now in boards. But, Jack, want to hear your thoughts.
I'll counter that, Nick, with another name, Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond, for me, is probably the best defensive rebounder. He's almost dominant in a similar way. For me, him and DeAndre Jordan are in the way that they get their rebounds, that they just box out no matter what. Hassan Whiteside, yes, amazing rebounder. But he's more of a stat rebounder, similar to the Rajon Rondo type. And I know it's hard to sort of discern between the two. But for me, it's based off the eye test, where it's literally seeing how these guys rebound. And the way Andre Drummond and the way DeAndre Jordan rebound. And, we could look at stats, and you could even argue someone like a Russell Westbrook is an amazing rebounder just by the fact how dominant he is as a guard to be able to get, like, 11 rebounds a game.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I put it in for DP of the week, because I thought it's, you know, a decent discussion point. It's something, a skill that I know you value assisting, but I value rebounding very, very highly myself.
I value I think a lot of rebounding box scores can be very skewed with the amount of defensive rebounds, because a lot of the time teams don't go for offensive boards. There are a lot of possessions where, you know, they'll take the shot and then they're already going back to their defensive positions. Easy defensive rebound for whoever's standing underneath the ring. So I value boards, but I value offensive boards so much more.
Well, they are second chance points. I've just Googled right now the stats for offensive rebounds happening in the current season. And we've got our top five. I'll give you the top five. Dwight Howard at number one. Hassan Whiteside at number two. Robin Lopez, surprisingly, at the Chicago Bulls.
I don't think that's that surprising. He's a very good offensive boarder.
Yeah, he is. He is. But number four, Kenneth Faried. He's a very energetic rebounder, to say the least. And then my man, Andre. And then we've got very closely followed by Tristan Thompson and DeAndre Jordan, who are just monstrous rebounders in their own right. Tristan Thompson probably, alongside Kenneth Faried, one of the best power forward center rebounders going around. But, I mean, you could literally roll a dice, toss a coin at any of those sort of six, seven names. Like, Dwight Howard is still one of the most dominant rebounders in the game, and those are evident by his offensive numbers. He's not getting enough credit in my eyes, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had some sort of resurgence coming from the Rockets. I love his work in Atlanta. Obviously, the leading the league in offensive rebounds with almost 100 is an amazing effort. But the reason why I've chosen Hassan Whiteside is because he gets it done on both ends. He leads defensive rebounds and is second, only three boards behind Howard in offensive rebounds. Watching him against the Wizards, which is obviously the games that I watch a lot of, there is absolutely zero chance of us getting a board.
And that's saying something, because Martin Gortat is
up there for in terms of total rebounds per game. Like, definitely in the top 10. But his ability to read the ball, know exactly where it is, and then play off the other center is amazing for such a young player. Averaging, how many is he averaging per game? I don't actually have the...
4.3. He's got 4.32 offensive rebounds per game.
How much total, though? Like, I'm pretty sure he's averaging about 15 rebounds per game.
Oh, well, look, yeah, that'd be... I'm pretty sure he's at about 14 or 15, like you said.
Yeah, which is, you know, the last time I checked the stats, which I think might have been a week ago, he was around 14 rebounds per game, which is, you know, astounding.
Yeah, it is.
And the percentage of that being offensive rebounds, I think, is, you know, very good. Because if you look, you've got Dwight Howard and Hassan Whiteside at the top, and then nine back... like, which is, you know, a decent golf. Nine back, you've got Robin Lopez. And then 15 back, you've got Andre Drummond in terms of total offensive rebounds. So, you know, the golf there is getting bigger. And, I just love offensive rebounds. Second chance points for your team. And it's just if Hassan Whiteside could actually finish much better than what he is, he would be... in brilliant, brilliant form.
Definitely.
But yeah, I like your Andre Drummond pick. He is a rock in that Clippers team. Oh, sorry, Clippers. Detroit team. And is possibly the best thing in that franchise. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Good stuff there, Jack. Love the discussion there. Moving on, we've got a question via Adrian or the Phantom. Are we coining this?
You can.
Adrian Fantomato. No, it doesn't make sense.
Adrian Fantomato.
Fantomato. I've got to coin that. Fantomato. He's asked a question about the New York Knicks. What do you guys think about the New York Knicks this season? Can they be contenders for the Eastern Conference? I assume you mean Eastern Conference... number one seed?
Playoffs.
Like, or high?
No, God, no.
Eastern Conference finalist?
God, no.
Well, you know, when he said, can they be contenders for the Eastern Conference? To me, that sounds like, can he win the Eastern Conference? Can they win the Eastern Conference?
Let's just put that plainly. No, they can't. But especially the fact that, could you imagine a final series where it's like the New York Knicks versus the Cavs, and then like, say in game four where the Cavs are 3-0 up, and you see like LeBron James and Kyrie Irving just doing the bottle challenge.
Doing the bottle flip challenge. It would be a complete piss take. If the quality of New York Knicks makes the Eastern Conference final, then the Cavs will sweep their way to the final.
I think the Knicks, though, can make some noise around that eighth seed. I don't think that, you know, with the rumblings happening with Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson right now, there's a lot of disharmony that's happening at the New York Knicks. And I think Phil Jackson is actually creating a lot of that. I think Melo, Porzingis, and Jeff Hornacek, the coach, if they're left to just do their job and Phil just stays out, stops doing like old white man's things and speaking out about like, you know, all these things, then I think the team's going to be fine because they've got the talent. Derrick Rose is having a somewhat mini resurgence. I think Phil Jackson's just literally going to shut his mouth, let Melo, Porzingis, and the players do their thing. And then I think they can be, you know, I don't think they can finish as high as the sixth seed. But I don't think that's their. I think that's their ceiling.
Well, they had a. They were below 500, and then they had a winning streak of about four, I think.
Yeah.
Currently 12-10. They were 12-9 before their very obvious loss to the Cavs. But they are surprising me. That four win run, did surprise me. And you know, pushing them into the sixth seed, I wouldn't have tipped them as a top four, a top eight contender, but you look at other teams outside the eight at the moment, you've got the Pacers and the Hawks. More so the Hawks, because the Hawks have had a tremendous slump recently, but I think that's just a poor run of form from them. I think they'll push back up there. But if you look at the other teams around that top eight, you've got the Bucks, who have been fighting form. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been carrying that team. He's a one-man fast break. He is, you know, incredible. Cannot wait for him to reach his peak in the coming years. The Bulls have found some form. And the Pistons, I think, are pretty locked into a... I reckon, like, they're only eighth at the moment, but I think they are a good lock for at least a playoff spot. They just made it last year.
With Reggie Jackson coming back.
But they are, I think they're definitely up there for the pick. So New York can stay up there unless the Hawks can, you know, come back. And I think they will. So personally, I don't think they'll even make the playoffs. But that's yet to be seen. Again, this four game streak did surprise me. So I'm still looking at pre-four game streak New York. And they don't play well. When they play bad, they play bad.
They do.
But when they play well, they can, you know, they can obviously beat. Like, they didn't quite challenge the Cavs, and I think that's what gets me.
Well, yeah, Nick, let me stop you right there, and we'll go from one of the poorest performances over the week to literally one of the best offensive teams this year, if not ever. Via Stelios from our Facebook page, he hit us up. Am I watching the greatest offensive team in history? 21 assists in one half. Wow. Hashtag scary. And Maggers responded, fuck these damn Warriors. This shit isn't fair.
Amen, literally, Maggers. Amen.
Yeah, it's... I'm literally, as Elaine and a lot of the Seinfeld cast would say, I'm speechless. I'm without speech. I can't explain how good these players are.
It's very scary. I mean, obviously we knew this was going to happen coming into the season, and then when they started slowly, we're like, ah, you guys suck, super team, more like pooper team. But now they are 20-3. In very emphatic fashion, they're looking better than what they were last season. with Durant. It's just, it's mind-boggling. They ended up, in that game that you posted, 21 assists in the half, they ended up with 45 for the game. They're racking up crazy assist numbers every single game.
What, Nick, what is it that makes this Warriors team so offensively great?
They're just a team full of superstars. They've got three of the best shooters in the world, one of the best defensive players in the world, and Zaza Pachulia.
I was about to say that. And Zaza.
And Zaza. He's a big man. I've got nothing for him.
He knows how to do like a mid-range jumper and then do a weird funny dance.
Do that dance, yeah. He's just... It feels like Zaza's there. Like, he's only just got there, but it just feels like these five guys are mates and Zaza's just the shit one.
Yeah,
but, like, he's on the team because he's your mate.
He's like the Nick Buesing of the Toon Squad.
Yeah. Or the Luke Magritte. Nah. Shots fired. I think their offensive prowess comes from how well they kind of respect each other. They're on such similar wavelengths because they're all very, you know, tight knit, and that's what you need in a team. Steve Kerr has done an amazing job of molding these players. Well, not so much KD, but Clay and Steph definitely, and
finding
these players to work into a system that he's created and just have it all meshed together like they're a well-oiled machine. And then you've got, you know, all-star shooters, 90% of your offensive players are going to come off.
Yep.
When you've got shooters that, you know, I watched a bit of the Golden State Jazz game, and Jazz have an amazing defense, and this Warriors team were just picking them apart. The constant movement of the ball reminded me a bit of the Spurs. The drive and kick. The drive and kick three times in the shot clock to absolutely collapse. By the end of the 24 shot clock, five of them were in the key. And then it just kicked out to Durant, I think it was, in this specific play, just to shoot the three ball and swish. It was amazing.
I think, to put it simply, Nick, and to stop you from rambling on, because you seem to have jumped on the Warriors bandwagon, you jump on more bandwagons than Adrian Fomato does.
I enjoy watching a very, very good team.
But yeah, they're basically, what you're saying is, and I'll sum it up, they take good shots, they know how to pass, they know how to assist, and they take the best shot. And when you have the best players in the game, any shot is basically a good shot. So, yeah, there's just so many reasons why, but that's probably the main ones. You've summed it up pretty well.
But, Jack, to answer Stalios's question, are they the greatest offensive team in history?
You're more of a stats man than me, Nicholas, so you'd know about history, but I would have to say that some team with Michael Jordan would have to be... Or Kobe and Shaq, or, you know, sort of those.
I was thinking of the Kobe Shaq era, both being offensive monsters. But we're thinking of, you know, two players. We're spoiled, I guess, with this Warriors team in having, you know, even when Draymond wants to score, he can score. He had 22 points the other day. I can't remember who it was against. It might have been against the Clippers. Where he shot, I think it was about 4 from 5 from three.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly have the exact numbers here, but I remember watching that game and he just went off. And then in their most recent game against the Jazz, I'm pretty sure he had 2 points.
Yeah.
He's been doing that regularly. He goes off one game and then, you know, focuses more on defense the next game and assisting, because he racks up a lot of assists.
I think they are the great, like, they're almost competing against themselves to be like the greatest offense in history. And I'm currently on basketballreference.com, and right now Golden State Warriors are the best one of the best, if not the best, all-time offensive team in history, with, funnily enough, the Toronto Raptors, who are right now absolutely balling on offense. But other teams up here include the 1986-87 Lakers, the 99, which probably Magic Johnson led, the Chicago Bulls, 91-92, which is, you know, your Michael Jordan, your Scottie Pippins. There's so many, and the Cleveland Cavaliers of this year are also up there. I'm not surprised to see, you know, the big three of LeBron, Wade, and Bosh up there as well. But, I mean, it's very subjective, Nick. That's what the NBA and NBA talk is based a lot on. But because I hate the Warriors, I have a sort of unnatural hate for them. For me, they aren't the best offensive team in history. Anyone that has Michael Jordan is better. So, hashtag Team MJ.
Yeah, I mean, I have to, you know, obviously I didn't watch these teams of old live, so I've seen replays and I've got stats. So I think my view on it would be a bit skewed, but I would say that, you know, we are witnessing history at the moment. This team racking up crazy assist numbers and crazy, crazy scoring. I mean, they've had two games where they scored 140+. You know, up until this season, 137 was the highest team that I had, the highest score that I had noticed, until the Warriors broke it twice. You know, yeah. Personally, I think we are witnessing history right now. So, if you can tune into the Warriors, and you know, you can say that I watched them during this great season. You know, we could be talking about the 2016-17 season with in many years to come. But yes, that ends the discussion points for this week. Jack, this is a bit of a run of the kind of what's the term I'm looking for? Kind of on the fly here. Yep. But what is your game of the week? We'll move on to game of the week, and we had some doozies for our individual performances. But tell me what your game of the week is, mate.
Running on from the Golden State Warriors theme, their performance against the Indiana Pacers, where they scored 142 points, and in the same week they destroyed the Clippers. But that 142 point performance against the Pacers was just—it was embarrassing for them because they just did it so easily. They, like Paul George, one of the best two-way players in the league, a great defender. No one could stop them, and I don't think. And it's why I'm very much looking forward to seeing them come up against the Spurs again in the coming weeks, because that first game is almost like an aberration now. I'm getting off topic. Our game of the week for me this week is the Golden State Warriors against the Indiana Pacers, where their offensive performance, like, it feels like we could probably do every week with the Golden State Warriors, but the 142-106, 36-point win is drubbing of the Indiana Pacers. Your Golden State Warriors, game of the week.
Good stuff. I couldn't agree with you more there, Jack. I mean, the offensive prowess of this Warriors team is second to none. Quite literally, second to none. But with that, we're going to take a break. Just on the other side, we've got Nick's / J-Pod's picks. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to head on Facebook and give us a like. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Kicking off here with Nick / J-Pod's picks. For those of you that are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week, just gone, and we throw in some honorable mentions there as well, because the week is long and there are a lot of games that were played. It's hard to pick just one player per position. So we'll start off with some honorable mentions here, Jack. We'll kick off here. We've got Wesley Matthews in their win over the Bulls. 26 points, 7 from 11 from 3. So a very nice 3 performance there from Matthews. We had Lou Williams, our contender for Sixth Man of the Year, solidifying that spot with 40 points off the bench in a narrow loss to the Grizzlies. 38 points as well in the game after that. In the loss to the Jazz. Both coming in losses, but amazing performances off the bench from Lou Will. It's crazy there. Got Isaiah Thomas, 37 points and 7 assists in their win over the 76ers. Gordon Hayward, 32 points, 9 from 18 field goal percentage, which is crazy, and 11 from 11 from the free throw line, which is always handy to have in their win over the Nuggets. Want to take the rest, Jack? Take the big next one?
Yep. Russell Westbrook. I feel like if we were to do a tally, we might actually – we should do that, Nick. When we get to the halfway point of the year at All-Star break, we should go through our Google Docs and like write down all the names and see who has most – honorable mentions, most J-Pod Knicks picks, because Russell Westbrook would definitely be winning it.
does this now count as... we'll continue the stat. I'll make my observation later.
All right. During the week, he had his fifth straight triple-double. 28 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists in their win over the Pelicans. He had his sixth straight triple-double over the Hawks. 32 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. And literally 5 minutes ago, as we were doing this podcast, he had his seventh triple-double. I don't have the stats on me right now, but it's literally the second longest streak of all time. It fathoms belief, the things that this man is doing. But I'll move on. James Harden. He had another great performance this week. 37 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, shooting 57% from the field and 60% from three, and 18 from 18 from the free throw line. You know he gets it done there. Marc Gasol, who we'll be mentioning possibly a little bit later, in their win over the 76ers, 26 points and 14 rebounds, a great performance in Zebo's emotional return to the team. Carmelo Anthony, in their win over the Heat, in a vintage Melo performance, 35 points, 4 rebounds, chucking a couple of dimes in a vintage Melo performance. And Dwight Howard, Superman, your man, 23 points and 17 rebounds in their win over the Heat. What made that especially noteworthy, Nicholas, is that he did that against one of the other noted centers in the game, against Hassan Whiteside. He sort of schooled him in his center ways. I think Dwight sort of made a bit of a statement there, but
yes,
who have we got for our Knicks picks this week?
All right, we'll start off with the ever-coveted Knicks picks. At point guard, at the one spot, we've got John Wall. Yes, making his Knicks picks debut. He had a hugely dominant performance in an unfortunate loss against the Magic, with 52 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. I think that was one of the quietest 52-point games of the week, because it was very overshadowed by
I think, yes, Thelios summed it up perfectly when he posted that NBA meme where it's John Wall carrying out the trash, carrying his team.
Yep, yep. That's a very fair call, Stelios, as much as it pains me to say that. And, yeah, so John Wall, a very impressive game to take out that point guard spot. At the shooting guard spot, I wonder who this is going to be.
I don't know, Nick. Who is it?
I don't know. I might stir the pot and just be James Harden. Hashtag not a point guard. Klay Thompson massacring the lights. Not just shooting them out. He massacred them in Oakland, shooting 60 points in 3 quarters. He didn't play the fourth, and he barely played 3 full quarters. He played 29 minutes, and he shot 63%, 63.6%, 57.1%, and 90.9% from the field, 3, and free throw line, respectively. So that is well over the 40, 50, 90 mark that makes a superstar. He shot 63 from 2, or 63 from the field, 57 from 3, and 90 from the free throw line. Just enough can't be said about his performance there, and we'll mention his performance again later in the show. Jack, you want to take out the front court?
I'll do it, mate. None other than, I think this man's already had plenty of honorable mentions. Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the rising stars, my most improved player of the year so far. A big triple-double in their win over the Blazers. 15 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. The Greek freak can do no wrong this year. He is next level. He's superstar status now.
I'm excited in a few years when he gets his quadruple-double or quintuple-double. I'm excited, Jack.
It's not going to happen, Nick.
I'm excited.
But we can... We can dream and we can hopefully believe. At the power forward position, your man, the cat, Carl Anthony Towns, had a nice 27.15 rebound performance in their OT win over the Hornets. Wins have been a bit tough to come by lately for the Timberwolves, and Cat got them over the line against the Hornets. And at the center position, a man we mentioned in the honorable mentions, Marc Gasol, helped his Grizzlies over the line against the Blazers with a huge 36.9 rebounds, 2 assists, including 4 of 6 from 3-point land. Look, this is just a huge performance from a big man. And Marc Gasol has been part of this big man resurgence that we've seen so far this year, Nick.
What I love seeing is just big men taking those shots. Oh, it's such a, like, you see a guard take that 3 shot and you expect him to make it. When you see a big man take it, it just means so much more, I think.
Do you reckon we'll see Nick a big man in the 3-point contest this year?
Oh, I would love to see a big man in the 3-point contest. Marc Gasol, get him in there.
Bro life for 3-point contest.
Clutch 3-point shots to win the Grizzlies the game 2 this season from a big man. It's crazy. But yeah, that's where they were. Nick / JPod's picks for this week. We had John Wall at the point guard, Klay Thompson at shooting guard, Giannis Antetokounmpo at the small forward. We had Karl Anthony Towns at the power forward and Marc Gasol at the center. Very formidable team there for this week. Moving on to stat of the week. And this was the first week where my jaw quite literally dropped when I heard this stat. I could not believe what I was watching in the game and what stats came out afterwards. So we're going to Golden State, obviously, in with Klay Thompson's emphatic 60-point game. And the stats that has come out of it, Klay Thompson held the ball for just 88 seconds in his 60-point game, where he did that in 29 minutes, which is astounding in itself. But in 29 minutes, he held the ball for 88 seconds to score 60 points. That equates to 1.47 seconds per point. If that, exacerbates Clay's spot as a catch-and-shoot master, like, better than master. He is, like, Zen God of catch and shoot. And another one, he only had 11 dribbles for the game. 11 dribbles.
So he bounced the ball 11 times.
Yes. Bounced the ball 11 times to equate to 88 seconds of total holding the ball time.
This is just, these numbers are like, they're hurting my brain, Nick.
1.47 seconds per point. Like, that is crazy efficiency.
Shooting 67%. So it's like you're 1.47 seconds. What could you do in 1.47 seconds?
Well, I don't know. Use your imagination, Jack.
Yeah,
self burn. I suck. No, I mean, 1.47 seconds isn't even enough to get a decent shot off in in terms of time left in a shot clock.
No, it's these numbers make like 2K and video games look like real life. Like, I can't understand these numbers.
Well, I know. You would definitely see something like this in a 2K game where you put up 60 points, just catch and shoot from the corner. It wasn't even from the corner. He had a lot of 2-point shots as well.
I know.
And only dribbling the ball 11 times. It's just astounding. I remember I was telling mates about this before the podcast, and same sort of thing, the same reaction. They couldn't believe that he held the ball for only 88 seconds.
88 seconds. Like, okay, our podcast lasts like 88 minutes, and we do like fuck all but speak about shit in that 88 minutes.
That's
like
right.
In 88 seconds, this guy like broke records left, right, and center.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, we'll move on from start of the week. We've dwelled on that a little bit. We'll move on to Jack's random off-topic pick. So what do you got for us this week, Jack?
Hashtag JRT comes from Miss Alicia Harper-Owen, my lovely girlfriend. She hit us up on Facebook. Hashtag JRT ID for the dynamic duo. I don't know if we're really dynamic. I think I'm more dynamic and you're just like my dynamic partner. Is that about right?
I am. Yes. Okay. I'll take that.
You're less dynamic. Okay. So, but what you said anyway, who are your favorite NBA cameos in films / TV shows? Bron in Trainwreck, BG, Blake Griffin in Broad City, which I bet would be Luke Magley's pick, and it definitely is, excluding Space Jam, because obviously that's in another class. Nick, this is a fun one, mate. What do you got for me? Who are your favourite NBA cameos in films and TV shows?
Well, I discussed with you earlier this week, but LeBron has had his fair share of cameos in... He's had his fair share of screen time, and one of my favourite parts in his... Hollywood performance, I guess, is his brief stint in Entourage. If you haven't seen it,
yeah.
It's Matt Damon has started a charity, and the main guy Vince was asked to donate some money to the charity, and he gave $10,000, which for someone who's earned $23 million for that year, it's not that much. And LeBron, being the philanthropist that he is like saying that he gave $1 million to this. I'm explaining it terribly, but it is such a... If you haven't seen Entourage, get on it.
Let's just like quote it. Let's quote it back and forth, because that's when it'll come off better. So it's
But I don't know it word for word, Jack.
Okay, well, I do. It's just like, so how much did you... LeBron, how much did you give? And what does LeBron say?
I gave $1 million.
Yeah, it's just like LeBron gave $1 million to this
It's like, whatever. It's like, what did you give, LeBron? I'll match it. I gave $1 million. It's like, oh shit.
He was amazing in Trainwreck as well. Like,
he was playing that overly protective friend, like the nice guy, but he'll like snap you like a twig.
It's funny because he was like almost playing himself, but like in a weird way. Because Bill Hader came out like in interviews, and I saw this. Bill Hader was like, LeBron. I had everything over, like, I only had one thing over him in his life, the fact that I was funnier than him. But now he has that over me. Like, he's funnier than me now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he kind of is.
One of my favorite scenes from Trainwreck was when, if you haven't seen it, Bill Hader and LeBron, I can't remember their actual names, but they were having lunch and LeBron didn't want to pay for lunch. Being the multi-millionaire that he was, making Bill Hader pay for it. Oh, it was so funny.
So I had the salad, you had the steak, so I'll chip in $10 in it. I mean, you got it, yeah? Like, this guy just signed like multi-million dollar. He's like a billionaire when it comes to Nike. Yeah? He's not even... For those that haven't seen it, see Trainwreck. Trainwreck's amazing.
Trainwreck's
great film.
Very good.
Yeah, and... I mean, we have to mention Space Jam because for me, the best ever appearance is Charles Barkley.
Oh
in
my
Space
God!
Jam.
It wasn't a dream; it really happened.
I promise I never got out with my dad again.
Oh man! I think Ali said besides Space Jam. I mean, that is
we
quite.
Can't, we can't not. We have to include it.
Yeah,
Mugsy Bogues.
I mean, you've got I don't know. Well, they're not cameos, but You've got Shaq starring in a few films, Kazam and Steel.
Kazam. Have you heard the Kazam burn that Charles Barkley gave to Shaq before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll tell you this. You'll love it. So it's like, he's like, oh, why didn't MJ like return your calls or whatever to Charles Barkley or to Shaq? And he's like, and then Charles is like, maybe he didn't want to be in Kazam too. And I'm just like Shaq played a genie, like Shaquille O'Neal.
In one of the most underrated movies of all time. That and Steel.
And also Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant is a terrible, terrible, terrible actor.
But he's that not great, but then...
Bad. Like, he's bad. I thought MJ was bad, but he's bad.
I think if we're ranking them out of, like, the ones that we know, LeBron, for me, is the best. Blake Griffin was amazing in Broad City. If you haven't seen it, Nick,
yeah.
he plays this guy where one of the girls hits on at a club, and, like, they go, oh, it's Blake Griffin, and then, like, they get naked, and she's last because he's just so huge and, like, he's so big in all areas. And instead of engaging in the coitus, they do all this other weird, wacky stuff, and it is funny as shit. And Blake Griffin is a funny man. So BG is probably the next best actor.
And he kills it in those Cheetos commercials, mate.
It definitely did. Definitely did. But I digress, because Muggsy Bogues has one of the best lines in Space Jam.
But I love my mama.
But I love my mama. I didn't say that, Muggsy. You did. we could literally quote all of Space Jam. Oh, like Larry Bird.
I have seen it many, many times. Larry Bird is great.
Larry Bird's amazing.
Oh, but Jack, I think we've spoken quite a bit of the NBA cameos, as they were quite a bit, but I think LeBron takes the crown as possibly best actor. Looking forward to Space Jam 2.
Yep.
So, yeah, stay tuned for next week's Off Topic. I think you'll will enjoy it. Well,
it's
definitely
will. It's the
worst ever. It's, Jack hates it, but find out what it is next week. Ooh. Yeah, and with that, we're going to take a break. We've got social media section and SMS and DBS on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Kicking off here with our social media section, a very dear section to me and Jack's hearts, as always. It's where you guys can hit us up on our many social media outlets. Just to let us know, you know, what you're thinking. Let's have a conversation together. So you can hit us up on hashtag JBTPod or on Twitter at JBTPodcast, Facebook.com/JBTPodcast as well. You can hit us up on Gmail through the email, JBTPodcast@gmail.com, and at JBTPod on Insta. New outlet there, governed by Jack. So hit us up there on Instagram, like our photos, share stuff, do all that stuff. Yeah, so Jack, have we got any more of ratings and reviews, which we value very highly here at JBT?
No, unfortunately not, Nicholas. But we have got a few more likes. So we have 80 people that have liked our Facebook page. So that means we should have 80 reviews. So for the 65 people that haven't given us a rating review on iTunes, get on it or Nick will hunt you down.
Get your stuff. Come on, people. If you know anyone with a iTunes account or any account, I don't know how... It would actually have to be an iTunes account, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Get on there, rate, review, do us a solid, and...
get around us.
Yeah, get around us. But Jack, we'll start off with social media. We'll start off with our social media snippets, I guess. Our posts, yep. That's the one.
Let's get through it. All right. We got FanBam, who is leaving the country. Good luck to you, FanBam. Hope the flight goes well, my friend. He posted on our Facebook earlier in the week. He is back on hashtag Team JPod for starting Porzingis. Hashtag Nick Nothing. Hashtag I'm a swing voter. Hashtag worse than Ohio.
Bit of political jokes there. Good stuff there, Heiser. But you're off Team Nick Nothing, so get stuffed. Get out.
Get out.
Get out of this country, race. Which you are inevitably doing.
He actually is.
I think the drop of Porzingis was there to rock the boat a bit, and I did, and I lost a few followers in the meantime. So, you know, shats, but, you know, good to start some controversy there. Actually, absolutely. Drop him as well. So.
Andrew Buzink has hit us up on the Facebook page. He posted a YouTube link to a video where it was saying Nick was saying bagels at 2:29 of last week's pod. And he said it like Britta did in Community. Hashtag bagels.
I didn't say bagels, though. Like, I didn't. I didn't say it. I said bagels.
You did. They're called bagels.
They're called bagels.
He calls bagels bagels.
And I didn't. Like, if you want to, at 2 minutes and 29 seconds, he's even been nice enough to give the timestamp there, you bastard. But I said bagels, I swear to God. Anyway, moving on. That post doesn't even count because it's not even factual. Moving on. Andrew Busick has also hit us back up again. Saying, so me screen capping Fleeting's tweet makes me fleeting? Well, I deny it, and here's a picture that proves it. And it's a picture of Homer next to the Pie Man, which is very relevant because it's a picture of Andy next to someone dressed up as Fleeting. Oh, good stuff there, Andrew, but it's a shame. What if Fleeting 54 gets the superstar, social media superstar of the week? Then, you know, you could have had that title.
I think I might have to give it to Pie Man.
Yeah, just give it to Pie Man. Give it to Santa's little helper dressed as Pie Man.
Yep. I think I might actually have to.
Done.
You'll see. Fan Man again. He hit us up. Stelio, stiff only to get an honourable mention. Hashtag rigged. Well, let me counter, and I did counter to that. Stelio gets an honourable mention because he's an honourable contributor. He's a class act that doesn't buy into the childish feuds that Fam Bam and Magus and Ali and A-Rod, they buy into. Like, he is... Stelios is stellar. He is a good lad. And his contributions to this podcast are not understated, Mr. Stelios. Do not buy into this childishness that Mr. Fam Bam and others are buying into.
But you're essentially saying that the honourable mention is a more coveted spot than social media superstar.
When you're as honourable as Stelios, the honourable mention is the most honourable mention you can get. When you're people like Fam Bam and you need the notoriety, you need that, you crave that attention, then you need the social media superstar.
You Stelios are just making up rules left, right, and centre, mate. This is a mess of a segment.
This is my segment. It can be as messy as I want it to be.
Oh, moving on. We've got Adrian Formato, the Phantom, hitting us up on Facebook.
I've had a bit...
Yes, Fantomato. I've had a bit go down the past week, so I haven't been posting much as I would like. Just letting all JBT listeners know that the Phantom will be back. And to Luke Magri, you're wrong. Hashtag, you spelt your wrong. And Fam Bam was all over that. And SMS comment of the week goes to Jason Fam again. He's had some brilliant comments on these Facebook posts. But it's good to hear that that the Phantom is listening to our podcast. Good stuff there. Prove the haters wrong.
Hashtag Fantomato.
That's it, Fantomato. Is it Fan with a PH? Are we doing that? Fantomato?
We'll
go with the PH because it's like Phantom. Yeah. All right. Yep. And Magus, as always, live tweeting. Well, not quite live tweeting. Live posting his pod experience. I just love. Like, I'm not. I would love to go through it all. But it is, you know, it's very long. But it is such a good read.
Go through the highlights, mate. Go through the highlights.
Nick, you sound like you're dying. Probably because I was sick. he was bit of talk back, I guess, with the whole if Westbrook were to enter the team, would it make it better? So some nice comments there. Never forget who introduced everyone to Catfish. Catfish and the Bottleman, hashtag Maggers. Good stuff there, Maggers. And The Weeknd sounds like a band. I'm sorry. He's laughing at me referring to The Weeknd as they. So, you know what, mate? I'm not as musically into it. I can play nice things, but I don't listen to a lot. Nick, I warned you about rapping. Hashtag off team Nick. I didn't think I rapped that episode. Did I? Oh, probably.
I can't remember.
Self-burn. Oh, God, I'm terrible.
You are really bad.
Happy not to win SMS this week. It would be boring if I won every week anyway. Hashtag shots fired. Purposely moving your game down there, Maggers, to let other people take that spot.
He did say that your Nick DR may have saved you from being off team Nick. Can you give us another hashtag Nick DR?
I would love to, Jack, but the snare is not set up. So
can you
I,
give us some sort of DR?
No, because like I'd need to do it with my voice, and then it'll get Maggers off team Nick again. I can't afford that.
Do it.
I can't afford it, mate. Nah,
you bastard.
Not doing it. So that ends with the social media segment. Some nice posts there. Jack, the ever coveted SMS, you want to go through the rankings, mate?
Yep, I'll do it. I'm only doing a top three from now on. So we've got the honourable mentions, Adrian Fantomato and Magus. You blokes get a couple of honourable mentions. But our top three for this week, at number three, Stelios. You keep pushing up the rankings, Stelios. Number one will be yours in no time. And it's not even about what Stelios is posting. It's about how he posts it. He interacts with us. He shows us respect. He's not like, you know, your Maggers and your Ages and trying to stir up and creating feuds between Team Nick and Team J-Man. Because, you know, we are one unit at JBT. So Stelios, number three. Mr. Fam, Jason Fam, Chopsticks at number two. And then at number one, we have Santa's little helper in a pie bar.
Yeah.
It would have been you, Andrew, but you disregarded your ownership of Fleeting 54, so we're going to have to give it to none other than Santa's little helper as Pie Man.
Congratulations, Santa's little helper. Well deserved there for your single post. Well, it wasn't even his post. He just appeared in the post. Good stuff there. Moving on. You've made some enemies there, mate. Moving on, we've got some... we had a nice DBS request coming from Luke Magri. Just watched a clip from ESPN, First Take.
Nick, let me stop right there. You forgot our little ball bet that we were going to mention.
Oh, yes, yes. We're going to start introducing a weekly ball bet after the social media superstar segment. So, essentially, you guys can hit us up with potential challenges that me and Jack can fulfill every week, and we will post videos of these challenges throughout the week when we do them, and we'll touch on them again on who won and what the reward or, you know, whatever the
option. Punishment.
Punishment, that's the one. Punishment will be for that week. So you can hit us up with ideas. That'd be greatly appreciated. We're going to do the bottle flip challenge this week. See how that goes. Is it whoever gets it in fewest attempts or as many times in a minute?
I reckon, we do like 30 seconds, whoever can post the bottle flips.
All right, done. That is this week's JBT ball bet. So good stuff there. Anyway, moving on to DBS. Luke Magri, I just watched a clip from ESPN First Take where they discussed who would you drop out of Curry, Durant, and Clay. Stephen A. boldly said Steph. And it made sense. However, he justified that. Think we need a DBS here, boys. I dare one of you to make the big call. So, Jack, our DBS this week. Drop, bench, start. Thompson, Curry, Durant. What you got?
What I've got. I am starting Kevin Durant.
All right, mate. Stop dragging it out. You're making us nervous.
I'm benching Stephen. Sorry, mate. I'm starting Kevin Durant. I'm benching Stephen Curry, and I'm dropping Klay Thompson.
Justification there, mate? You're dropping a guy who just dropped 60 points in 88 seconds of holding the ball?
How can you drop the best shooter of all time, the best three-point shooter of all time, the best point guard in the league, and how can you drop Kevin Durant, probably one of the MVP contenders, if not the MVP in the league right now, if not the best 6'10 player of all time, if not one of the best small forwards of all time, if not the best shooter of all time. Klay Thompson is amazing, which is what made this DBS so tricky and such a hard one, but Klay Thompson isn't in the same league as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Like, they're just better players.
Yes, yes, that is true. Better players. My DBS differs slightly a bit. And I'm actually, you know, comforted by the fact that my views are supported by a professional ESPN.
Stephen A. Smith is one of the worst analysts in the NBA.
But so he is a professional analyst nonetheless. So, starting Kevin Durant. I completely agree with you there. He is the best player on this Warriors team. He is the reason they are the best offense at the moment. He is racking up career high assist and rebound numbers, as well as shooting. You know, I think, don't quote me on this stat. In fact, I'm not even going to say it. But he is a extremely efficient shooter, shooting at about 55% for the season, and has, you know, over 20 points a game averages. Amazing, amazing shooting performances from Durant, and just the best player on that team. So he is definitely starting. Now, here is where it gets a bit tricky. I dropped Curry and benched Thompson.
Oh my God.
Now, it's a bit it contradicts what I said earlier in the season, where we did a DBS on the all-star point guards and I would start Curry. But we're not talking about point guards. I think Thompson is a better pure shooter than Curry. But Thompson needs people around him to be a great shooter, which is one of his drawbacks.
Like Steph Curry.
It is one of his drawbacks. Unlike Curry. Curry can create his own shot.
Yeah.
And create
so
his own
Steph
shot
Thompson,
from nothing.
So Klay Thompson needs Steph Curry around him to make him
a better
shooter.
But not necessarily Steph Curry. It doesn't have to be Curry. He just needs to be given an open shot, and if I was a coach creating a play to give someone an open shot, it would be Durant. But if Durant wasn't on the court, it would be Thompson over Curry.
Okay, well then you could say I could replace Klay Thompson in this DBS with, say, Kyle Korver or Ray Allen. Does that mean you would have Kyle Korver or Ray Allen over Steph Curry?
Possibly, yes. Maybe not Korver.
That's just stupid, Nick. Mate.
Definitely,
you're just being dumb,
I think Thompson proved in 88 seconds worth of play that he is the best shooting guard in this league.
I think Jimmy Butler might have something to say about that, even though he's playing at small forward.
Yeah, well, when you've got that many guards in that team, it's pushed him out to small forward.
Or DeMar DeRozan.
No, I would put Thompson ahead of him at the moment. At the moment,
I would as well. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. I get you. It was a few weeks ago when I said the Splash Brothers were done playing devil's advocate. That
seriously, you're contradicting yourself so much.
But Thompson, I feel Thompson's ceiling is higher than Curry's ceiling. Because Thompson is the type of guy who can drop 60 points and just be an unstoppable shooting force.
So could, like, but I don't know what you mean by ceiling, Nick. What do you mean by ceiling?
As in, like, Thompson's best shooting performances are better than Curry's best shooting performances.
No, they're not. That's just
in
that's
terms
just
of
in, real.
I disagree in terms of, like, pure, it's hard to explain, but Thompson's a better pure shooter than Curry, and that's why I
know what you
him.
Mean by pure shooting, like in terms of shooting act, catch and shoot, and that sort of shit. I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I'm saying is that Steph Curry can shoot the ball like Kevin Durant can in so many different ways, whether it be ISO, whether it be three bombs, whether it be 50 feet from the rim. He can get to the rim a lot better than I think Klay Thompson can these days. He's worked on that quite a bit. To drop Steph Curry is almost, it's disrespectful in like the highest form. And you and Stephen A. Smith deserve your own podcast about how stupid you are to drop them.
No, it's like we said earlier, because these DBSs are generally all-star players, dropping them isn't a diss to the player. It's just applauding the skill that the other two have.
Yeah, but you're almost jumping on the Klay Thompson bandwagon, Nick, where you're just dropping Curry because Klay Thompson had a great week. Whereas at the start of the season, you were saying, like, Klay Thompson has been shit. So, like, if we did this two weeks ago...
Yeah, I mean, it. You look at people's form, of course.
Yeah, but you're basing it off literally one game, like not the whole season and not their entire careers.
Not 60 point games, but he has been doing this pretty consistently now. not 60 point Steph games.
Curry,
but
if Steph Curry is literally one of the best, people have already said that he's the best shooter of all time, and you're speaking about ceilings and shit. Steph Curry's ceiling is that he's like going to shoot 500 threes possibly in a season. Like Steph Curry has redefined the game of NBA. Like it just frustrates me that you could say Klay Thompson is a better pure shooter and all these things to support it. It just frustrates me because I know you know more than this, and it's almost naive of you to buy into the bullshit that Magus is baiting you with, and that Stephen A. Smith, who is just the worst NBA analyst of all time for that matter. It's just you can't drop Steph Curry. Like he's had a poorer season this year than he's passed, but Steph Curry is still the reason why. There is a 3-and-D league. He has redefined the game, like LeBron James, like Kobe Bryant, like Michael Jordan, like all these players have, and not many players can do that. Klay Thompson isn't the one that did that. Steph Curry is the one that did this.
Yeah, no, you make some extremely valid points there, Jack, and I'm not discrediting Curry's ability. I just feel that if I was crafting this team, you're going to start with Kevin Durant. There's no arguments there. But I just feel coming off the bench, I would want... I don't know. I just want Thompson there because he can get you, you know. So can Steph. He can get you your 50%
from three. Is there any way, Nick, that I could get you to any sort of evidence or any sort of opinions where I could get you to change your mind and actually have the same DBS as me? Or are you going to stick with it?
Oh, I don't think we're going to have the same DBS ever. Even if I don't agree with it. Nah, but it's some good discussion there in terms of Steph and Clay taking that.
And for those that haven't seen, Chaz posted another amazing meme on our page of the Golden State Warriors as the Squirtle Squad because they are literally the Splash Bros of the highest order.
And even with Durant there, just strengthening that 3-point, it's just brilliant. Anyway, that was DBS. If you feel Nick Nothing is wrong, as seems to be the general consensus, one other person in the studio thinks that. 100% of the studio, apart from me, thinks I'm wrong. So you can think of it that way.
I'm in Toronto.
Anyway, is there anything else you want to talk about, Jack?
Nah, mate, you got, just as always, it's always a pleasure speaking about ball with you, Nicholas, no matter what part of the earth that I am on.
Good stuff there, Jack. It's a pleasure as always. And just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show because it'll help others find us and add to the conversation. If you want to get into contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBTPodcast or Instagram at JBTPod and also through email at JBTPodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week, keep balling, superstars.
Hashtag KBS.